Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Best of a Fiend podcast, a proud member of the Arskina Podcast Network. I'm one of your hosts, Jesus Acevedo Jr., joined by my co-host, Alex Aguilera. Say hello to the people, Alex.
Hi, people. Probably won't see me this time around, but still hi anyway.
Now, today we have another special episode for you faithful listeners. Last week, we talked about NBA and astrology, and this week, we're going to discuss some rule changes we'd like to see implemented in the NBA, but we won't be discussing it alone. Joining us for this special episode are the hosts of Ball Is Life's Noble and Ruscio, a must-listen show for any basketball diehards. The duo has interviewed a who's who of names in the game, from Jay Bilas, Michael Smith, and Taylor Rooks, among other noteworthy guests. So without further ado, Mr. Zach Noble and Roosh Williams, welcome to the Basketball Fiends, fellas.
Appreciate you guys. And I just want to say, I was called Nobu for the longest time. Everybody thought I was in that Drake song.
There you go. Bring it back. Bring it back.
Wow. Thanks for having us, man.
We're excited to be here. Let's be honest.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here. I don't vouch for Zach going by the name of a sushi restaurant. I don't know where that's coming from.
It is my favorite food.
I actually just had pokey for dinner, so it's similar.
Oh, like the poke bowls.
We got Pogoszewski.
There we go. Hey, man, if you're in Houston, go to Izakaya off Westheimer, or go to Aka off West Alabama. Both are slamming. Both have nice little reverse happy hours too.
Nice. Okay, I'm in Midtown Houston, so I'll definitely have to look both those places up. So today's episode, We each picked one rule that we would like to see change. And I'm going to throw it to you, Zach, first. And tell us your rule change and why you want to see it implemented in the NBA.
No, I appreciate you guys inviting us on this one. And it was definitely interesting, something we haven't thought about in a while and I haven't discussed in a long-ass time, that's for sure. So rule changes, it might not be the most creative, but these guys think I'm frauds when I threw it out there. It's legit. It's actually a real thing, okay? So overseas, they play it all the time, and it's not like 100% no goaltending, but you can't touch the ball on the way down. That's how it goes. Once it touches the rim, like in the FIBA games, the Olympics, everywhere basically besides the NBA right now, you can do this, but it's just never been integrated over.
You can do what?
Slap the ball off the rim.
So are you saying no goaltending, or are you saying you should be able to slap the ball off the rim?
So the rule I put out there is no goaltending, which would include the ball on the way down. That's what I would like to see personally, but I'm okay. I think it'd be fun either way because I do like watching that differentiation overseas, that's for sure. But I just think it makes just a whole another dynamic that, I mean, there's not too many rule changes that spice up the game that much. And I definitely like that idea.
Yeah, I think definitely once I saw it, once you proposed it, I took it as no goaltending, like everything's free for all. But if you're saying FIBA rules, that's something that I would like to see in the NBA. Because I think, most of these athletes, these NBA players, they're just so much more athletic than we've ever seen. And they're just going to keep getting more athletic. Oh. So I think it'll add another wrinkle. Teams are going to have to start defending, actually boxing out more. Like, you're going to have to box out hard. Maybe people legit have to. Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
I do think it move the game closer back to the rim a little bit versus shooting a lot of threes. Yeah, you tell me if I'm wrong there, but I truly think,
Why, Roach?
How is it going to move you closer to the rim if it's easier for the defense to take the ball off the rim?
Because more dunks. I think it would be way more dunks, and you'd want layups to get past your guy versus, you're going to be able to block shots way easier. And like balls that are bouncing off the rim or the backboard that are coming in, that's way easier to tip that shit out of there than a dunk.
I disagree. Look, really? I'm with Jesus. When you said no goaltending, I thought you meant like anything that goes up.
No, that's matter. That's what I'd love to see. I mean,
that's whack as hell, because then everyone's just going to be just catching balls in the middle of the, like in the air, what the fuck's the point? Sure. I don't know if we can cuss. Can we cuss?
Go ahead.
I don't know what the point of that is. I'll also say this, on our show, on the Noble and Roosh show, we had Sam Decker, formerly of the Houston Rockets, now currently of the Toronto Raptors. And he just played overseas in Russia and Turkey, where that rule that Zach's talking about is in effect. So you can slap the ball off the rim. And I asked him about that. I said, hey, you know, what was that like? And he said, you know, it really doesn't happen. It only happens on free throws. He said, right. that's when it happens. And so I don't think that, Zach, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that moves the game closer to the rim.
Only if you remove, like, make it all free for all, I think. I mean, like, even it sounded like you were admitting to that. If it was like
that, being said,
just on the way down.
That being said, I do think it's an interesting rule to be able to slap it off the rim. It makes things a little interesting. You know, it moves things faster. No easy buckets, that kind of thing.
I feel like you would have a lot of long rebounds or guys would maybe just try to like smack the ball to get it off the glass, and then some guard would come flying in and just try to, I don't know, some crazy shit like that.
We might have even way more open looks, but it could get annoying, and it'd be a rule I think they'd figure out really, really quickly if you made it a free-for-all versus the FIBA rules. They'd figure it out really quickly if they want to get rid of it.
Well, FIBA guys in the NBA are more athletic, generally speaking. So I think if you took the FIBA rule and imported that rule into the NBA, I think you'd see guys pretty soon after a couple years shift towards defending a shot, but instead of leaving their feet, they would try to alter the shot and then wait for it to hit the rim and get good at timing the slap off the rim.
Shit. You know, call me crazy. I mean, yes, I think that rule would probably bring more athleticism in, even though, like, naturally, just the way the world is changing, more athletic people are evolving. But I truly think the game is needing less athleticism, period. Just the further away we get from the basket, the more three-point shots you need, the more it becomes a shorter, slower game, a guy that can make it, even though those guys aren't the ones in the streets playing basketball and perfecting their craft as much.
No, here's the thing. We're talking a lot about the defensive aspect, but there's also an offensive aspect, because now the offensive player, he can also tip it in off of the rim. They don't have to wait for the ball to just hang there. You could just go in there and dunk it, tip it in. So that's also another, you know, positive that this new rule could bring. And in this case, I'm talking about the FIBA rule, because I think the other one, where it's just no goaltending, just, you know, grab it off of the air. That one's for sure crazy, right?
More posterizations, I think.
I mean, like I said, you would just have people, and Jesus, you're right. I mean, I think it would open up for people to kind of play it off the rim on offense too. I think that would happen less. But yeah, if you just had it a free-for-all, you'd see people just timing, like waiting for the ball to get right above the cylinder and just jumping and slapping it before it even touches anything.
It'd be like NBA Jam, man. Just make
none of this arm in the rim bullshit, though. None of that.
It'd be like pool basketball. You ever play pool basketball? You know,
oh,
like,
man. Yeah.
That's, go up there, swat anything.
Yeah.
But pool basketball is fun.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they implement the FIBA rule, just because, I mean, I think the NBA is like the only league that doesn't have it, if I'm not mistaken, right? I think every other major basketball league around the world has the FIBA rule goaltending.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm pretty
that
sure.
Sounds right. Sounds just right. Try it on the G League. See how it goes from there.
Hey, there you go. There you go. That's actually not a pretty bad idea. Now, for the second rule change we're going to talk about today, we're going to throw it to Roosh Williams, who he had one that I'm actually in favor for. Go ahead, Roosh. Tell us.
Yeah, so similar to Zach, I'm not being creative. I'm being more practical. But bring back hand-checking, man. Now, back in the day, hand-checking was a little egregious, so maybe don't bring it all the way back. But bring back some element of hand-checking. I mean, if you play pickup basketball, people hand check, you know, you don't use your palm and push somebody on the hip, but I will give a nice little forearm bar on the hip just for a half second, you know, keep somebody in place, make sure you stabilize your own body. And I mean, we've gotten to a place in the NBA where the offense is so good off the dribble specifically, and guarding these guys is impossible, right? So in addition to the other rules that make it easy for the offense, you can't even put a hand on someone's hip even for a half second. And guarding Steph Curry, guarding Kyrie Irving, so on and so forth, James Harden, it's difficult, man. And I think that as a fan, maybe I'm in the minority, but I don't really care to see things be easier for the offense. It's not, it devalues the fun of the offense when A, you know how talented the offensive player is, and B, you know how difficult it is for anyone to play defense on them. I like hard earned buckets, and you know, that's when you know someone can really, really, really ball. So I, you know, I'd like to see just a little bit of hand checking back. You know, Derek Harper back in the 90s with the Knicks was notorious for hand checking.
Gary Payton,
just defenders in general, man. Like it provides a physical aspect, a little bit of physicality to the defensive end. So I kind of miss it.
I'm 100% in agreement with you. I'm a big fan of, you know, defense and hard nosed defense, and there has to be some kind of a middle ground. You know, maybe like a defender has 3 hand checks per game, you know, or something like that. Maybe like after that, after the 3rd hand check, okay, that's a foul. You know, we have so many cameras, more cameras on one game at any time. So I'm sure that if it happens, technology is insane. But yeah, I'm all for bringing back hand checking. I think, you know, going back similar to the point with the FIBA goaltending, these athletes are just super extremely athletic, super speed, everywhere fast. And the NBA wants more points. So that's why they took away hand checking to begin with. I want to say 96, 97 was the first season that they had no hand checking. I could be wrong.
About right.
Check, right? Right. But yeah. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, I feel like there's a consensus here. Oh, my bad, Zach. No, you go ahead, man. You're the guest.
I would love it too. I mean, me and Roosh are both old school guys. I mean, some people might get a little annoyed at that because we like the 90s so much. But
same.
Yeah, that's good to hear. But I just think the game, like I've had this theory and theme forever. It's like, at what point are we going to move the game back closer to the rim? It's like, is it going to be more point shot or a 40-foot line or whatever? I mean, like, at what point is too much, you know? What, and then what's too much offense as well? And the way things are trending, it's just like defense is becoming less important by the year, but the reason why defense still does matter somewhat is because the way players are evolving, they're getting better, faster, quicker, more athletic, and that's where that perimeter defense comes in. You got to be able to move your feet. So with that said, I mean, I'd like to see defense be more important and be able to value guys like Rudy Gobert and guys that are becoming extinct and just bigger guys and for just differentiation in general. Like the game is really, really, really repetitive throughout every team. That's why I love watching the Spurs. I love watching teams that suck from time to time. I'm not saying the Spurs suck. I'm just saying teams. I like watching
they
the
do.
Kings. They're gonna suck really bad this year. But I'm a weird, weird dude when it comes to watching teams. Like, I'll love watching the Kings struggle through the mud and just, yeah, I just like it all because it's very rare we get a different style of play in today's game.
Yeah, I feel like there's a big consensus here when we all say, like, we want hand checking back. And I'll vouch for all the young people out there because I'm probably like the youngest dude right here, right now. But I like the point Roosh made about just how like the NBA has become so like offensive heavy now, where guys are like hyper talented, like on the offensive end, where it would be nice to see like defenders get a little bit more freedom. So, you know, we can have those kind of like head to head matchups where, I don't know, like a Patrick Beverly or like I could imagine like a Tony Allen just draped over like a Kyrie or a Damian Lillard and they go head to head. So now we can really see, you know, if these guys is offensive talent, which I mean, regardless, I mean, these guys are super good, but to be able to go up against like, a real defense, you know, where, you know, they don't have like one hand, tied behind their back.
And it says something that the most frequent defensive player of the years tend to be centers. When's the last time we had a, you know, guard or a forward? Kawhi Leonard's
the last wing.
Is it Kawhi or Draymond?
Draymond, you can kind of, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm with Zach. I'll consider Draymond more of a forward. But yeah, Ruiz, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's like the NFL, man. It's like, cornerback. I think cornerback is like one of the hardest positions to play in any sport. Mm. And even cornerbacks are allowed to do something, right? Get a little handsy. Imagine if you had to play cornerback without being able to even like touch the receiver to just stabilize a little bit. And that's kind of what it's like. It's like you can't even get a hand on them just to direct them a little bit or just to keep your own body in front of them. And it's almost impossible when you're Kyrie Irving's skill level is ridiculous. And if you can't even just get like a quick hand on him, you don't really stand a chance. Same with Harden, same with Steph Curry. And it's kind of the idea when, you know, someone scores in football and there's a minute and a half left, you already know, okay, this team is going to march down and at least get a field goal. That level of predictability sucks, you know, like it's just not fun when you know, okay, they're about to go 2 minute drill, air it out, and the defense is not allowed to be physical at all. And as a result of that, these fools are about to march down the field. You know, I don't like that. I like to view it as like a coin flip. We're going to see who's better on who does their craft better. Is the defense better at their craft, or is the offense better at executing their craft? And we've gotten away from that.
Maybe it could be another suggestion is that you can do handshaking before they get to the three-point line. So once they get inside the three-point line, no more handshaking. But outside of that, you can handshake all you want. Similar to the NFL, you know, where, like you said, cornerbacks get what, those first five yards?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say also similar to the charge, right? You can charge outside of the circle, right? Or you can get a charge outside of the circle. Something like that. Just something. Because like Zach said, I mean, dudes are hitting threes from, you know, super far back. If you're not even allowed to funnel them into the rim to some degree, funnel them into the bodies in the paint, like how are you supposed to play defense? You know, that's why they say it's a make or miss league. And I don't like that. I don't like that it's like boiled down to, oh, did the shot rim in or what? Like, let's get back to defense being executed, because it's a skill.
I want to say this, that players are getting more talented every year. I truly believe that the league's getting deeper with talent. I mean, the top-end talent, I think, has been great since the mid-90s, that first 10 to 15 guys. But the league is getting deeper and more rich with talent. So I think they're, like, it's not going to deter things too much. You know, I think the offensive guys are so good in today's game that they'll still be able to put on a show and they'll still be great. I mean, it's just stats will decline maybe a tad bit. I want to ask you guys, though, who do you think would suffer the most from this? And, like, it was kind of funny the other day, Rasheed Wallace, and then there's been a couple of guys to say that, like, LeBron would just be an average guy back in the 90s or whatnot. And they're like, bullshit, no way.
Somebody's jelly.
Yeah. No, a lot of guys are saying that, and a lot of it, it just seems like to boost up their guy and what have you. And I know it wasn't just to produce more offense why they implemented no hand checking, but it was more so to get rid of the fights as well, the physicality. That was a part of it. There's definitely a world you can limit.
No
fighting without hand checking.
Fighting had nothing to do with it.
And I absolutely did. Absolutely. No. I mean, no. For TV, man, for the eyes, television, the kids watching the game, absolutely. And
they punish it more severely. That's the deterrent.
I think, you know, the one player that I'm thinking, I'm trying to run through my, you know, list of players, and I'm a Houston guy, so maybe because I saw him play a lot more, but I think James Harden will probably not have become the player he is, because look, he mastered getting fouled. And, you know, just imagine if there was hand checking, maybe he doesn't become that sort of a player. I think he would have probably been hampered the most. I mean, he would have still been a good player because he's just extremely talented. And, you know, he would have figured out another way. And I think that's my next point, that if they do bring back hand checking, these players have a great basketball IQ that they'll change their games to play within the new rules.
For sure. And I want to say back to that, like, from a statistical standpoint, yeah, he'd be towards the list of the guys that draw fouls and whatnot. And that's where this the offensive foul rules are coming into play this year. And a lot of there's a lot of guys like Trey Young, Steph Curry, you name the list that goes down, that draw a lot of offensive fouls. Kevin Love, like, it goes on. But just the guys who draw the most, that's who people think are going to suffer the most from this. But for me, with James Harden, I think he's just so strong and crafty with the ball that he's going to always be a great offensive talent regardless.
I think it's Steph. Steph is, his game's all finesse. Right. I think forcing him to be physical, his change of direction, if you're allowed to get a hand on a hip, you know, it goes from there, that, from a foul call. Zach, are you drinking piss? What are you drinking?
Nothing but the best for Zach.
What is that?
Organic.
No, seriously, what the hell is that?
You get funnier by the day, my man. You know what I'm drinking.
No, I don't. Gatorade?
Lemon lime Gatorade?
Sure. Mountain Dew.
Shit. I don't like the way he answered that. It took him a while to.
I know, right? He was like, anyways.
He was just like,
Steph's game, if you're able to get a hand on him, because Steph doesn't have any physicality to his game. He's all change of direction, quickness, finesse, touch. If you're able to get, like when he does that, you know, quick behind the back crossover or his change of direction, and you can get a hand on a hip, I think you can start to alter that just a little bit.
Well, he kind of stole mine. I wasn't going to necessarily say Steph, but just, you know, a ball handler that doesn't necessarily have that type of physicality, kind of like a James Harden. I was kind of thinking too, maybe like a Klay Thompson, where, you know, he isn't necessarily a ball handler. So it's like, unless he doesn't get that, unless he doesn't have space to, you know, catch and shoot, like, you know, was it like, is he really gonna, do you really expect Klay Thompson to like dribble around some guy, you know, like a Steph?
Well, the thing about Klay Thompson is that he runs around, so you have to chase him. So it's not even,
would just need to be holding him down the whole time.
Yeah, it's not even hand checking. The thing that's difficult with him is you gotta chase him.
You gotta grab his arm while he's running around.
Yeah. You know, and speaking about hand checking, you know, I think if they were to bring my hand checking, the officiating will have to be a little bit tighter. And that's where my actual change to the rules is. I would like the NBA to add one more referee. You know, currently there's three. So my thing would be add another one more referee. So one on each sideline and then one behind each backboard. Now the ones behind the backboard can only move north and south. And when the action moves from goal to goal, the referee behind the backboard goes to the half court line and he stays there. He can't move further from the half court line. And he cannot make calls that are inside the paint and then vice versa. And here's the reason why is how many times have we seen when one referee who's the farthest from the play is the only referee to make a foul call or, you know, whatever the call may be. And I hate that. I'm like, how could you see that? How can you? You're the farthest away. So that is my one rule change. I had one more referee. So I'll open it up for a discussion.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I agree with you. There's a lot of times Scott Foster loves to do it where,
man,
he's behind half court on the other side of the play and he's calling like a touch foul. And it's like, yo, it's physically impossible for you to have had the angle on that play. There's no way that you knew what was going on in order to call a foul. So it would just help to have extra eyes on there. But, you know, it's weird because referees are like teachers, man. Like when a teacher accuses you of something, another teacher is immediately going to support that teacher. They're never going to say, oh, you know, I think Billy's right. And so add another referee. It's an extra set of eyes, but I just feel like they just will continue to back each other up no matter how bad the call is, you know?
I would say on top of that, like we always complain about how bad these referees are in general. It's amazing how bad they are, but their job is so incredibly hard because how fast the game's moving. And it's getting faster and faster every year. And these referees, I mean, they keep the same ones. So they're getting older and older every year.
You a referee apologist over here, Ben Dowsett?
Maybe. But I will say, I mean, bring on 4, 5, 6. And the more the merrier, because the more eyes, the better you can call the game. Yep. And you just might call it a little too closely, though. That's the other thing. That's why we need these other rules to lighten it up, these hand-checking rules. And
I'll say it'd be cool if you had that extra referee maybe on, like, full-time review duty. In real time, reviewing plays while, like, let the three make their call and then have an actual referee on the court with the video replay technology reviewing in real time so we can get it right and we can speed things up and not waste time, you know? So
I agree. I like that.
Right. Like just have someone confirm the call. I mean, in any profession, it, like you have somebody confirming or supervising or something. Right. But we don't have that with referees. There's no supervision. It's just, he makes the head ref will ultimately make the call or they ship it over to Secaucus and they review and they're not in the building. I don't know. It's hard to have faith in the system. But it might help if there was a ref reviewing and they start getting calls right instead of using these stupid arbitrary review rules and, you know, what's the phrase? Inconclusive evidence or whatever it is.
That's it.
Yep. So. Yeah, I feel like it would make the game just way more efficient, man. Yeah. If you just had an extra ref. Like it's such a simple fix, I feel. Like it isn't even like, you know, not like goaltending, not to call y'all Zach. Like that, not to call, you know, goaltending in that aspect,
but
I just
simple.
Right, but it's just, you know, just having an extra set of eyes. And I love that idea from Roos of just having like one ref specifically for, you know, for review calls. Like, I didn't even think of that because I, you know, my previous rule change was having like a limit, but just have someone like solely focusing on that, you know, that alleviates the pressure from like the head refs, guys on the court, where they don't have to think about it because they already know that they have one guy looking at 50 million different camera angles. Mm-hmm. That by the time they get to the scores table, he's kind of like, all right, this is the call that you need to make because I already seconds. Broke it down, right?
Done in seconds, yeah.
Well, so. But the problem though is that even if they did that, so I'm playing devil's advocate and arguing with my own suggestion. But even if they did that, there is such a weird stigma with, you know, again, not like the accountability that refs are held to is there's no threshold for accountability. It's almost like when your girl's wrong, right? She doesn't care if she's wrong. She doesn't want to be told she's wrong. She's just like, I don't care, right? Same with refs. Like, even if they're wrong, they don't care. It's about the authority, you know? It's like, hey, I made the call. That's the call. Deal with it. And so, you know, I could see a world where you have that fourth review ref and he's like, nah, man, I'm sticking with the ref, with the call the ref made, because we don't want to give off the perception that we're bad at our job and that we're making wrong calls. But who knows, man? I don't think we're ever going to fix refereeing ever.
I don't think so.
I mean, because they're humans and humans are flawed, but unless we find robots, unless we get to the point where we got robots reffing these things, and even then, I mean, they're human-made robots, so they're probably going to be flawed as well. But I do like the idea, I think Jesus, you said it, that having each ref have a division of the court, and you can only call shit within that parameters there, so that'd be pretty great. And yeah, it might be able to get rid of the two-minute report. That's the last thing I'll say.
Yeah, no, I think for sure. And to me, that I think we can all come to a conclusion that we just want the calls to be right. You know, how many times have we seen them just made, like, blatant calls? And one of the most, I know Roosh will clearly remember, is Kevin Durant walking out of bounds to save a ball in Golden State and put it back in play. I mean, you know, and I think he probably clicked out. So he's like, because he was so mad at it. But yeah, you know, we just want, as fans, as, you know, people that, you know, cover the game, what have you, we just want the cost to be right, like that. And fast. I think, and fast. So
fairly, call fairly.
I definitely like that idea that, you know, or maybe have four referees on the court, and then have an extra fifth referee that's all the time. You just have to do instant replay, check every call. Boom, seconds, you know, be done in seconds. So, and now with that, we're going to go to our final rule, which I think is going to be the most funnest. No, Zach probably is not going to like it because he's talking about he's trying to move the game a lot more closer. But the last rule, Alex, why don't you tell us the last rule?
So, yeah, I mean, Jesus, I want to say we talked about it in one episode, was the 4-point line. And actually, it was kind of established a little bit, or tried out in those like celebrity games. Where it was like they had like the 4-point spotter, like a legitimate 4-point line, you know, a couple feet, you know, behind the 3-point line. And I don't know. I just feel like at this point, you know, you got guys like Trey and Damian Lillard just literally pulling up as soon as they cross half court, they're putting up a shot, and it, for some reason, it just so happens to go in. You know, I just think adding a 4-point line would just add, I don't know, just like a more interesting dynamic where, I don't know, like you got 2 minutes left, you're down by 10, like a 10-point lead. You know, that late in the game isn't as safe, you know, as it would be when there isn't a 4-point line. You know, two 4-point baskets, your 10-point lead just gets obliterated to a 2-point lead. You know, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, adding a 4-point line, you know, just adds a lot more. I don't know. I guess I will say it brings out maybe more defense as well, because now you got to have guys, you know, pressing, you know, at half court, because the guy could just throw up a 4-point shot. All of a sudden, your 8-point lead is cut in half.
So, yeah, but I'll counter with that.
Give me the counter.
Yeah. So, first of all, I mean, the game is heading towards that way. I mean, the 4-point line's been talked about for, I don't know, 2 years or so now. And I'm sure a lot of youngins like yourself would love it. But as a traditionalist, and my rule earlier, trying to move the game a little closer. But yeah, there's going to be more perimeter defense and full court defense. That's for sure. Three quarters court, whatever you want to call it. And however good these three-point shooters continue to get, and however far back they're testing the limits and go even further. But it just opens up the court, though, so much. So it's going to be easier for the guys closer to the basket to get open, in my estimation, and get easier twos and get to the rim easier. I mean,
it brings the game closer to the basket, like you said, bro.
That's true. Oh, bringing it back full circle. That is so true. Now, here's the thing. If they had a four-point line, wouldn't it make sense for them to make the court longer now? That way, there's, yeah, you know, it kind of deletes that opportunity for just some easy twos. People just be cherry picking, kind of, you know, because now there'll be a 4-point line. And now, one thing that it'd be tough,
yeah.
But one thing that I want to ask you guys is, what should be the 4-point line? Let's think that they're gonna add it, because the 3-point line is 23 feet, right?
Yep.
So I imagine the 4-point line should be what, 20,
30,
26, 30 feet. Man, that'll be worth 30 it.
Minimum.
30
minimum.
That's where I'm like, no, it can't be that easy. No, but you gotta put right. that like 30 feet. Hell, 35 feet. I don't care, man. You gotta make that kind of far.
If you make it 30 foot, then you can keep the court the same distance, you know. But it'll be a lot more longer rebounds. But I think it also has to be more strategic. Like, when do you shoot a 4-pointer? You can't just be just launching it like nothing.
Right.
Obviously, some players will.
That's what I want to discuss. Yeah, when, because at the same time, it's like the game would get pretty annoying if they're just chucking up half-court shots nonstop. And that's the thing that irks me the most about the idea, is I think it just get even more synonymous and repetitious throughout the entire game. So maybe limiting them, like you were trying to limit the hand check rule many different ways. How are you going to limit this? I want to hear it.
Do you have like a total of 5 4-point shots per team? That's it.
Have
four. Like, doesn't matter when you use them, but you just have 5 total. But then again, you fall into that whole situation where it's kind of like a coach's challenge.
Right.
Strategy. Do you save them? Or, you know, like say, hey, like, you know, we're down 10 and we have 3 4-point shots remaining. We need to use them all, you know?
Yeah, what if it only came into play at like the last couple minutes of each quarter or something?
I like that. That was honestly sort of my thought about it, is have sort of like a limitations before it. Because, yeah, honestly, like the fear that you have of just like guys chucking up 4-point shots, you know, every time they come down the court, like that would get annoying. Like that would get super boring. It's like, okay, take 3 dribbles, you know, chuck up a shot, and that's pretty much your offensive possession right there. I mean, have a limit, you know, where it's like, you know, each quarter, like, hey, you only have a certain amount. So, you know, that's where the strategy comes in. It's like, hey, you got to make it count. Like, you can't just go, like you said, just down the court. Cause I mean, just that, you know, that's where I agree with you, where it's like, okay, that definitely kind of ruins the game, where you're just pulling the ball away from the basket and it just becomes like so one dimensional.
Yeah. And now, no point of coaches at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
And now here's the thing. If we do add a 4-point line, then you will go back to, you know, previously we used to have 3-point specialists, right? Like in the 90s. Oh, that guy is a 3-point specialist. Yeah. Now you'll have 4-point specialists. You know, oh, man, we need to get this guy on the court because he's our 4-point specialist. Because let's be honest, not every basketball player is going to be able to shoot from 30 feet. Exactly. Now, obviously, with enough practice, you know, some of these players can get there. But even still, some won't. Some just won't be able to take a 4-point shot that's at 30 feet.
Right. I feel like it would just be like a select few guys, especially now, that would be able to pull off a shot like that. Hey, Rouge, what's up, man? How's it going?
Sorry about that, man. My power just went out.
Oh, I thought that you were so mad about the, you know, Kevin Durant play when he stepped out of bounds. You were just like, that's it. Because trust me, I see.
Like, he had his head down, and I was like, damn, is he actually getting kind of mad? And then he just left. I was like, oh, shit.
I must have just frozen. No, all of a sudden, it just went out. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. But we're talking about adding a 4-point line, and we've come to an agreement that if we add a 4-point line, it has to be 30 feet out. So that way, it's actually makes it worth it. A minimum 30 feet out, because the 3-point is 23 feet. So 4-point line would be 30 feet. Thoughts,
30 feet.
Just in general about the adding a 4-point line.
Yeah, you pretty much have Steph, LeBron, and Dame taking 30 footers. It would kind of feel like
Trae Young.
Me, if I was out there. It would kind of feel like Jock Jams, man. You remember Jock Jams?
Yes, MTV, yes.
Yeah, when they had like they kind of turned it into NBA Jam, basically. They had like the 4-pointers and like, you know, just like anything else, man, the league would adapt. People would adapt to the distance. People would start practicing 30 footers, and then they'd get pretty good at 30 footers, and then we'd have to have a discussion about moving it back for five-point shots at the half court line or some crazy.
Well, actually, that's where we actually now came to another conclusion, is that what if it's just, you know, limited? There's two different, you know, thoughts. Maybe a team has five total 4-point shots they can take, or you can only take a 4-point shot, say, in the last 5 minutes of every quarter. That way it kind of limits you, and you have to be strategic about
it. I think counting them is difficult. I think doing it during a certain time period would make a little more sense.
Well, everybody's got iPads nowadays, and the stats.
I mean,
are just
they did
so
it. They did
time.
It in the Big Three, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're limited though in the Big Three.
Yeah, wasn't it like only at the end or something?
Yeah,
something like that. I don't.
Yeah,
know
so
that.
you could do something like that, but you know, you watch the Big Three. Like when that shot becomes available, that's all they start taking. You know. I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if that's a bad thing. I don't know if it's neither. But, you know, I just think the best way, maybe we're not talking about cleaning up the game, but I'll take it there. The best way to clean up the game, in my opinion, is to enforce some different rules like we've been talking about. You just got to make it harder to play defense. I'm sorry, to play offense. You got to let defense play defense. And then we're not talking about 4-point shots and all this. We're talking about people playing good defense, forcing difficult shots. 3-point shooting has just become too easy. It's become so favored. Right. Landing space rule, hand checking, rip through fouls, you know, all the Harden types of fouls that he would get on 3-point shots, guys flopping and flailing, guys leaning in for threes. It's just like there are so many different avenues to getting fouled at the 3-point line that defenders have to give a lot more space when they play defense. And if we could just figure that out, give the deference to the defense instead of to the offense, and I think we'd see, you know, a different game.
The only problem is I think there's very few people like us who like to watch defenses. Everybody loves to watch offense. You know, all of these NBA 2K players, which I haven't played in such a long time.
I think it's
2K fell off, man. But go ahead. Sorry, Zach.
Totally I think it's getting off. Less and less, though. I think it's getting less and less. And funny note on the big three, we had no idea how long that shot was. It's exactly 30 feet.
Oh, wow.
The 4-point shot in the big three. And you can take it any time, but there's only three places on the court you can hit the 4-point shot, and you have to have 1 foot in the circle. So I kind of like that. You know where these guys are going to be. So it's
jog
jam strategic. Yeah, Klay Thompson would have to get open there. But NBA players last season took 931 shots from 30 feet or more, converting at a 15% rate, which is just awful.
How many of those were heaves?
That's the real question.
If that stat is not
so the percentage goes to 9.2% if it's between 30 and 35 feet.
See, I just think that I hate those stats because we don't know how many of those shots were. Right. You know,
end of the quarter, throw it down. Yeah.
End of the quarter, end of the clock.
Less and less, I'll tell you that.
A guy jacking it up, hoping for a foul, not getting the foul.
Players are
kind
too scared to do that these days.
But look, just like anything else, man, the pendulum always swings, right? Something's in style, something's in demand, and then pendulum swings back the other way. You know, offense is hot, but I think people are starting to get a little turned off by how easy it is to score. I really do. And I think that, you know, people talk about the ratings with the NBA. I don't know what feeds into the ratings. I really don't care most of the time. But I do think that you have to appeal to casual fans. Diehards are going to be in it no matter what.
Right.
Casual fans, I think at some point wanted to see scoring, right? Same thing with football. But I think, again, pendulum is swinging back to where people want to see a game. They don't want to just see like a shootout where, you know, some guy's getting paid $80 million and you can't touch them. I don't think people like that. But maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Zach.
Are there any other rules you thought of? Because the only one that really is worth noting that I was thinking about throughout this process was what about charges and moving screens? I think it'd be kind of fun. Just not like get called if they were way too hard, but at the same time, it'd make an interesting dynamic to be able to.
Got to get rid of charges. They got to make charges a very specific, narrow thing. Like the crash and pass when you crash
that's for sure.
you know, and you pass it off, like that has no effect on the play. They got to get rid of that charge call. It should not be a charge call. That you have to. That's what I'm saying. It all feeds back to what I'm. It all feeds back to what I'm saying. Incentivize playing defense. Right, guys are not gonna. They're gonna take the charge when they're the defensive player. They're gonna. They'd rather take the charge than contest the shot because they know they got a better chance of getting the charge call than they do of not getting called for a foul if they contest the shot. And that's whack. That's whack, dude. You should be able to contest the shot. You know, it should be like a 50-50 thing. It should not be some guy jumps into you full speed and makes contact, whistle. That's not how the game should be.
Roosh wants to watch more Jarrett Culver's Michael Kidd-Gilchrist T-Tibles versus Trey Young.
No, I don't.
Well, I think we definitely might have to do another episode of this because they're definitely running up against it. But Zach and Roosh, thank you so much for coming on this special episode. It was definitely a lot of fun. And I think overall, I think you kind of hit it on the head, Roosh. You know, I think most of the rules that we talked about, except for the 4.1, were by trying to make the game back to what we used to, you know, we saw it playing growing up, and also try to get more incentivized, like you said, to the defense. Because it's just, you know, some of these, you know, it's like scoring is like 150 to 160, right. You know, just
the game caters way too heavily to the offense.
Exactly. So I think that's...
Look, I'll say this, last thing I'll say. Think of a game, I can only think of one game where it has not changed over time to make it easier, at least not drastically easier, for the offense. And that's baseball.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Baseball still then, like
they're trying to find ways.
They're trying to find ways.
The home runs are going up.
So right. But how do they do that with the ball, right? So they change the
baseball
they,
guys no home run.
Well, they juice the ball. they make the ball they change the ball so that it flies out of the park easier, and that's stupid.
Change people, the NBA ball.
Well, and it's a stupid thing to do that, but at the very least, like guys are playing the same way. They might take different approaches, right? It's more of like a strikeout home run type thing instead of guys playing small ball, you know, hitting singles, stealing bases, all that kind of stuff. That's an approach, but the heart of the game is the same, right? It's not like they made the strike zone smaller. It's not like they're giving an extra strike to the batter, right? It's like still at the core, it's the same thing. You get 4 balls, 3 strikes, strike zone's the same, pitcher's got to pitch, that whole thing, right? They did take pine tar away recently, and that just happened, but that's more of like a cheating thing than anything else. You know, so yeah.
They should allow pitchers to cheat.
A little bit, right? But they don't allow sign stealing, as we can very well
clearly know, yeah.
Right? Like, they don't allow steroids. Like, right. They're not incentivizing players to play bad defense or good offense. It's just like the same at the core of it. It's the same game. So I wish the NBA would keep that principle.
Yeah. Well, that'll be the last words on those topics. But, you know, once again, thank you so much, Zach and Roosh, for coming on. We'd definitely love to have you guys back on for another special episode. There's so many special topics we can definitely hit upon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Great idea. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Please come back next week. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.
Deuces.